Okay, so we have a 58-year-old man. He goes in for a routine health maintenance exam. He has type 2 diabetes in his history, and he has his ALP and serum calcium levels evaluated. So we look at the nomogram here, and we can see there's an increased serum ALP, and there's a normal serum calcium level. And we just say, what's the diagnosis? So looking at the answer choices, we see first off early renal insufficiency. It's like, ooh, wow, early renal insufficiency. Like, how does that differ from just like full-blown renal insufficiency? A little bit nebulous, a little bit weird of an answer choice. We'll come back to that in a second. Osteomalacia, this is actually what the last question was on. So this is 195. I'm talking about question 194, but in osteomalacia and vitamin D deficiency in adults, or of course rickets in kids, same thing. You would have a decreased serum calcium, decreased serum phosphate, PTH goes up to compensate, and ALP activity would actually be increased because PTH activity is increased. So when we talk about serum ALP, and you say, like, what does that mean though? Alkaline phosphatase activity reflects osteoblast activity, the cell that builds bone, okay? That's what you need to know. Serum ALP reflects osteoblast activity. USMLE will give you questions where, like, there's one I can think of on one of the Step 1 NVMe exams where they tell you there's a kid who has decreased serum ALP, that's his only problem. And then the answers were all different cell types, and it was defective osteoblast activity, okay? Decreased osteoblast activity. So that's what this this range of ALP activity reflects. Just says, what's our osteoblast activity? Of course, ALP can be elevated when we talk about biliary tract obstruction. If you have like a common bile duct obstruction, ALP, alkaline phosphatase, can be elevated. You can also get ALP elevation from bone fractures. Okay, that can occur. There's also placental ALP, which can be elevated as a tumor marker in seminoma. Okay, but when we're talking about these endocrine type questions with like vitamin D, parathyroid, okay, like these types of questions, ALP, as just like a general principle, reflects your degree of osteoblast activity. Okay, now ALP will be elevated if PTH is elevated. PTH causes bone resorption ultimately, right? It's a PTH functions to increase serum calcium. PTH does not bind to osteoclasts directly, however. It's important you know from a physiology standpoint that PTH binds to the osteoblast first. That's why ALP activity goes up, because the osteoblast is activated. But rather than building bone, the osteoblast will express rank L on its cell surface, which then binds to rank receptor on the osteoclast, and then the osteoclast undergoes maturation and activation. Okay, it's an indirect effect of PTH. But that's another, I articulated it like that because that's actually another answer on a different NVMe question I've seen where, in the presence of high PTH, they wanted you to know there's increased osteoclast maturation and activation. But it's indirect, okay? As I just said, PTH binds to osteoblasts and increase ALP activity. And then, of course, the osteoclasts are going to break down the bone ultimately. Now, going back to this question, but that's just your general principle as far as ALP. Going back to this question, we said osteomalacia, PTH goes up to compensate for the low serum calcium because vitamin D, if it's low, you're going to have less small bowel absorption of calcium. PTH goes up to compensate, so ALP would be high, but your calcium would be low, not in the normal range. Okay, so the blue dot would be over here. You have high serum ALP with a low serum calcium if the answer were osteomalacia. Okay, I said I'll come back to early renal insufficiency in a moment. Looking at Paget or Paget disease, that's the answer here. Okay, this is easy if you merely memorize this as a factoid, where in Paget disease, you have an isolated elevation in serum ALP. This is a very, very high yield detail for USMLE, okay? you ask students blindly, like in Paget disease, what will you see? Oftentimes they'll start off by saying, oh, it was calcium. It's like you already know it's the wrong answer. So all you need to say is, look, things are normal. Calcium, phosphate, PTH, all normal. It's an isolated elevation of ALP because Paget disease is characterized by increased bone turnover. That's actually another answer on NVMe I've seen where, like, literally it'll be a vignette of Paget disease and then the answer is increased bone turnover. Some of you seeing this clip might be wondering, like, can you tell me what Paget disease is a little bit more? As I said, it's a disease of bone turnover where there's increased osteoclast and then there's increased osteoblast activity. You can have mixed activity of osteoclast and blast. The bone will look heterogeneous on imaging. If you do any type of radiographic scans, you can see increased uptake because of the increased ALP activity, the increased osteoblast activity will cause a bone scan, you get increased uptake. One of the vignettes they like is like an old man, a 74-year-old man who hits his head in his bathroom. His wife calls the ambulance, they go to the hospital. He has a non-contrast CT of the head performed, no evidence of any bleed. But then they'll show you the CT scan and you'll see that the occipital region is a bit heterogeneous and you're like looking, you're like, I don't see a bleed, but that weird, it kind of looks weird on the bottom. Like the occipital area, the bone is very thick and heterogeneous, like kind of light, kind of dark, what's going on there? And then the answer is just check serum ALP activity, okay? Which, because the diagnosis is Paget disease, and the factoid is that about 50% of Paget disease of bone questions are diagnosed incidentally. Okay, so it's a disease of increased bone turnover. They like to give buzzwordy descriptions of, you know, the guy's hat doesn't fit him like it used to because the bone of his skull is thickening. It's usually a patient over the age of 50, tends to be men in USMLE questions. As I just said, the hat might not fit as well. The patient might report tinnitus because of narrowing of the acoustic foramina. Okay, so tinnitus and the hat not fitting, classic descriptions for Paget. I didn't include them here because too easy. Okay, like I'd rather have you learn from this question by looking at the ALP activity and the calcium. That's what I want you to learn here, as opposed to just seeing it in the vignette that his hat doesn't fit and he has tinnitus, and you're like, well, it's Paget disease, but you were able to answer it without looking at the ALP versus calcium, okay? So this question's very vague. I give you no information, and then I just show you that calcium's normal, which is what we expect, and there's an isolated serum ALP increase. That's consistent with Paget disease. Primary hyperparathyroidism. Your calcium, first of all, would be elevated, so you can eliminate that instantly. Your serum ALP would be elevated, as we just talked about before. If PTH is increased, then your ALP activity will be increased, okay? ALP activity can be elevated without your PTH being elevated, right? As we just talked about, that you can see that in Paget disease of bone, but you will never have a situation where PTH is elevated and ALP is not elevated, okay? So whether it's primary or secondary hyperparathyroidism, doesn't matter. If PTH is up, ALP is up. This is gonna be kind of annoying, but serum ALP is not gonna be down if you have hypoparathyroidism, okay? You'll still have an ALP in the normal range. You know, your PTH can be low, your ALP can be normal, low normal. I'm articulating this because I don't want you to start eliminating questions erroneously because the ALP is in the normal range, even though your PTH is decreased. Okay. So, if you have low PTH, ALP can be normal. But if you have high PTH, you're always going to have high ALP. Very rare to have low ALP. Okay. It's only that one question I mentioned on NBME where they just want to decrease osteoblast activity as the physiologic, process going on. So looking at prostate cancer, choice E, that's wrong because you would have increased serum calcium, okay? And you'd actually have normal ALP. Actually, you would have normal or elevated serum ALP. So first things first, in prostate cancer, if it metastasizes to bone, Bone mets doesn't have to, it's not isolated to prostate. Any type of bone mets could be lung cancer, could, in women, could be breast cancer. If you have metastatic malignancy, when those mets enter the bone, you're going to get localized cytokine activity, which will cause bone resorption, and serum calcium goes up. So high serum calcium is classically seen in metastatic malignancy. I talked about in the previous question that about 90% of hypercalcemia cases in hospital are due to a mix of metastatic malignancy and primary hyperparathyroidism. So if we see cancer, you sh on the USMLE, you should automatically be thinking increased serum calcium, okay? Now, why did I kind of go back and forth between the normal and high ALP? Because most of the time with cancer metastasizing to bone, you're just going to get mere lysis of that bone, as I described, through cytokine activity, where osteoblast activity won't be increased, right? So you'd have high calcium from the lysis of the bone, but your ALP activity would be normal because of absence of additional osteoblast activity. However, prostate cancer is notably osteoblastic mets. It's an exception. Okay, that's actually really high yield for USMLE. You need to know prostate cancer causes osteoblastic mets. So if you had lung cancer, let's say, it goes to bone, get osteolytic mets. Okay? But prostate cancer causes osteoblastic mets. So we would expect high serum calcium and probably high serum ALP or normal serum ALP, but probably high serum ALP. Okay? So the dot would be over here for prostate cancer. Looking at early renal insufficiency, I save that for last because early makes it weird. We say, does it matter? Renal insufficiency refers to secondary hyperparathyroidism. So you'd have a low serum calcium and a high serum ALP. So the kidney cannot reabsorb calcium, okay? In addition, because the kidney normally reabsorbs calcium distally, that's its function. But in addition, in chronic renal insufficiency, you get the added element of the kidney over time, that decreased 1-alpha-hydroxylase activity in the PCT is going to lead to activated vitamin D deficiency. So decreased 125 D3 means you have decreased small bowel absorption of calcium, and PTH goes up. So we have a down arrow for serum calcium because we have vitamin D def or sorry, we have a down arrow for serum calcium because not only can the kidney not reabsorb the calcium, but we get vitamin D deficiency in the chronic state, and PTH goes up to compensate. USMLE likes that detail. They'll give you a vignette of chronic renal failure, and then they'll ask like why the serum calcium's low, and the answer will just be decreased small bowel absorption. Okay, so but increased PTH in renal failure, it's secondary hyperparathyroidism, so our ALP would be high because of increased osteoblast activity, the PTH binding osteoblasts. But as we said, low serum calcium, so the dot would be over here for renal failure. Early versus late doesn't really matter. I just decided to be an asshole and put early there. Type 2 diabetes, it's like a slight, makes it, you know, maybe 8% more difficult, this question, in case you weren't sure about the Paget disease. But that's pretty much it, okay? Your take-home point is just you got to know for USMLE that you're gonna have high serum ALP and an isolated elevation of serum ALP and a normal serum calcium in Paget disease of bone. Okay, that's it.